Juice Radio. I mega faulted your mother.
You like discussions about incest?
Because first of all, it's the worst movie ever made.
The link ain't blue, so I can't click it.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome to Geek Juice Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a fantastic show for you tonight. My name is Charlie McMullen. With me is Alex Jowski.
Hello.
Kevin Daly.
I believe in a thing called love.
Indeed he does. Tom, bad guy.
I want a PS Vita.
Don't we all. And Josh Hadley.
I want to see my enemies crushed before me so I can hear the lamentations of the women.
Conan!
You can work a PS Vita into that, then that's all the better.
It is what is good in life.
What we are going to lead with, I believe, is a topic from last week that we did not have time for. This was Tom's idea, so why don't you sell the shit out of it, Tom?
Basically, I want to talk about movies that maybe when you're growing up, like you and your family all know about. Like, say, for example, there's a movie that you and your family love, and like you can quote it to them, and they know exactly what you're talking about, and they'll quote it back. For example, my family really loved the National Lampoon Vacation movies. And if you don't like it, I feel sorry for you because it's totally awesome. And we would always, every single time, because we always did the road trip thing like every summer. The entire car ride, it would be scenes from that movie, like the Marty Moose song, which I actually, it's been so long since we did a road trip, I actually forgot the lyrics to, which I'm very ashamed of. And then the favorite thing my dad liked to do is we'd reach up to his shoulder and be like, hey, Dad, do you need an aspirin? And he'll do the Chevy Chase turn and be, don't touch! And basically, I want to talk about that. Any TV shows or movies that you and your family liked, and like you see that movie, and you're like, that's our movie. Another one is like Godfather, which should be every family's movie.
Every movie about family.
Yeah, even the family.
Yeah, exactly. Every single time, like say, like we're all watching TV and we're flipping through, if Godfather comes on the TV, the flipping stops, everybody shuts up, and we just watch it. And just movies like that, or TV shows, or anything like that that you guys and your family just love and quote the shit out of, basically.
Most movies like that for me would be between me and my sister Heather, because during summers we would not have school, and my dad was a cop. He would work during the day. So the biggest one, I think, would be Spaceballs, which we watched twice a day for an entire summer.
It's a good movie.
It was fantastic. All I would need to throw out is something like now, and she would say now.
I have to go with the real Transformers movie from 1986. My brother and I watched the hell out of that, and every now and then we'll still be like, I got better things to do tonight than die.
Oh, I remember that. That's a blast from the past. I gotta watch that again. It's been forever.
Whose voices were in that?
Orson Welles.
Orson Welles, that's right.
Orson Welles, Robert Stack, Leonard Nimoy, Judd Nelson, the Micro Machines guy.
Oh, yeah.
There were a couple other semi-famous voices. Lionel Stander, who, if you've seen that crappy movie Cyclone Brad and I talked about where they really kill the dog, he's in that. He's in lots of 70s stuff, lots of TV
movies.
Now
that you tell me they really kill a dog, I won't be seeing this movie.
I didn't know they really did it until I saw it. And then it's by the same guy that did that Guyana tragedy that Brad reviewed. And it's like, yeah, there's no way that they didn't really kill that dog.
Kevin
that
was
really
totally
going to
see the movie, too.
Oh, I don't know about that, but now I'm definitely not going to see it. Scene in Cannibal Holocaust made me sick enough. I don't think I can handle the dog.
And just one thing for Judd Nelson. Judd Nelson is hard.
Oh, Kevin, then they eat the dog, too. And then they use part of it as bait to catch a shark to eat. And then they eat the rest to the dog.
Wow.
Okay, you know what? Out of respect for Koreans, I'm not going to comment on that.
Thanks, Josh. I'm going to have nightmares now. I really do.
But Kevin, it's got the voice of the kid from Pod People, from the American Pod People version in it.
Yeah, so exciting.
For my sister and I, most recently, the ones that we quote often for the past, I don't know, 10 years or so, was Requiem for a Dream. That my sister and I will watch that movie together often, and we will still quote.
That sounds like a Jowski thing.
So if you guys are like pulling something back and forth like a tug of war, do you just like lock eyes and laugh?
Yes.
Another thing that we like to do, especially when we're in restaurants, I can't remember which Simpsons episode it is, But it's the one where Chief Wiggum eats so many hamburgers and he's stuck in the booth. and he's just sitting there and he goes, oh, it's the barbecue episode. And he's not
That's the Pulp Fiction parody. That's the Pulp Fiction parody where they have the discussion about the shakes and then they have to...
like McDonald's versus Krusty Burger?
Yeah.
No, I got him confused. The one I'm thinking about is where they poked out the booth.
It was a barbecue at the Simpsons house.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about. And he's sitting on the thing and he goes, hey, Simpson, why don't you pass me another one of those burgers? And me and my dad and my brother would always do that after we eat.
I can't seem to move under my own power anymore.
Yeah, that's a Simpsons thing was like really big with my family. Because it was funny because for a long time, my parents wouldn't let my brothers watch it or me and my brother watch it. So they'd be like, no, you can't watch this. And then one time I think my mom was just like, it, just watch it with us. Just watched it all the time.
The one for the Simpsons
either.
The one for the Simpsons for me was my mom always watched it with us, but she always hated it. And then we caught her laughing at a joke once, and we would never let her forget that she found the joke where Homer looks at a globe and goes, huh, look at the funny name of this country. You are gay.
Oh, yeah.
We'd never let my mom forget that we caught her laughing at that because she was pretending she didn't laugh at it.
Oh, my mom, one thing that me and my dad did to drive my mom crazy is we'd always watch the movie Dumb and Dumber constantly because my mom hates that movie so much. And it's literally like we've never watched a movie just to spite another person except for that movie. My mom thinks it's so dumb. Me and my dad love it. And we just watch it all the time. And we would sit there like grown men laughing at children pointing ahead or saying, haha, we're watching this movie.
I watch movies despite people all the time. That's how my girlfriend and I argue, is I'll just like passively aggressively watch Chasing Amy because she doesn't like it. And then she'll like throw in any Kate Hudson movie.
Oh, God.
Mine is Flash Gordon. My wife hates that movie, but every time it's on cable, I make her stop flipping channels and make her watch it. And then I start quoting lines like, oh, well, who wants to live forever? Dive!
Who and she just is like, Flash Gordon?
My wife, and she's a sci-fi fan. She likes Star Trek and stuff like that, but she just, Flash Gordon, she does not get into that film.
I don't think my wife hates it, but Rocky IV, every time that's on, I gotta watch Rocky IV. It's stupid as hell, but man, is it fun stupid.
When
I saw that in the theater because I'm so much older than you guys.
I didn't have that honor, unfortunately. I wish I had.
I saw all five of them in the theater, man.
When I was married to Martha, we went through a period for about a year and a half where she would make me watch with her Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory every single night.
Are you talking about the Johnny Depp version or the Gene Wilder version?
Oh, no, the Gene Wilder version.
Well, what the hell's wrong with that?
Yeah.
It's just every day for a year and a half.
That sounds like a challenge. I would totally do that.
The thing with my wife, though, is with the Flash Gordon, she gets me back with Fried Green Tomatoes.
God.
Oh!
Whenever that's on, that's always... she stays on that channel.
See, that's when you need to go to bed with saran wrap wrapped around your junk. You like the movie? Let's get serious about it.
Another movie that we'd we'd flip through and then like stop every single time Dune is on. That movie it just hypnotizes my family. Just we have to watch Dune, and every single time he puts the hand in the box, we all have to scream, make fun of the pain.
Well, Tom, perhaps the sleeper had awakened.
Maybe. The sleeper awoken in all of us, I think.
My wife can't watch that movie because the guy's on Desperate Housewives, and that's all she can think about.
Kyle MacLachlan?
Yeah.
Then she'd hate Twin Peaks.
Oh, God.
She says she does hate Twin Peaks. Yeah.
Martha loved Dune, and that's the only way she wanted to think of Kyle MacLachlan. And then I watched an episode of Desperate Housewives, and she's like, I don't want to think of Muad'Dib this way.
What about
up on Portlandia recently as the mayor of Portland?
What about Showgirls Muad'Dib?
Let's go Showgirls? Swimming.
Yes, he is in Showgirls.
I've never seen Showgirls, so.
Seriously?
Oh. Yeah.
You need to, but only see the unrated version.
It is really the Citizen Kane of shit.
Did you want to see Jessie from Saved by the Bell just really overact her ass out of her career?
Funny is she was of the three girls on Saved by the Bell, she was the one I would be least likely to think would end up in a movie like Showgirls, but you know.
But you do get to see Gina Gershon making out with women, so that's always good.
Indeed.
Bonus.
Because Bound can only take you so far.
Well, going back to Dune, Like, the part that my girlfriend Heather does not like is the creepy, his creepy little sister at the end. Like, she kills the Baron and the wall blows up, and there's just that slow-mo pose of her holding the knife and her hand is out with the needle. And, and she's
like...
Have
you seen Alicia Witt now? Have you seen what she looks like now?
No. I'm going to imagine it's the same thing, though.
She grew up to be quite a hottie. She's been in a whole bunch of movies. Have you ever seen Four Rooms? Since
yes,
we're going
I
to Tarantino later.
Oh, she was unbelievably hot in Four Rooms.
She was Madonna's daughter, lover, kind of vague in that movie.
She had black nipple tape.
Yeah, she had black nipple tape.
I did not know that was Alicia Witt as the little girl in Dune. She's been in Urban Legend.
Yeah, Urban Legend was, she was just awful in that. I'm going to say what it is. Oh, yeah, Cecil B. DeMented. I saw that on IFC recently. She was hilarious in that.
Oh, yeah, she was in that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she was the porn star.
She was on Twin Peaks as well as a little girl.
Yep.
Just creepy as hell in Dune. So, like, the dubbing of that voice was really creepy.
I actually like that Dune movie. The problem is, if you haven't seen read the book, you don't have the after the first 30 minutes, you don't have an effing clue what's going on, ever.
Nope, but I love it.
Now, after reading the book, I was like, oh, I know what's going on now. I get it.
Do you think Peter Berg will do a better job after Battleship? He's remaking Dune now.
Battleship makes me want to kill myself.
Except I like Peter Berg. He's a good director.
It's an idea, though.
I agree with Josh. I was one of maybe five people who didn't hate Very Bad Things.
I love that movie. Very Bad Things is the darkest comedy I've ever seen.
Is that the one with Christian Slater and John Favreau?
Yes.
Yes.
I was iffy about that when I saw it. Because it really did, like, it took a really wicked twist, and then, like, all of a sudden it's like, okay, I guess Christian Slater is just a serial killer now, out of nowhere.
Well, I don't often say the words Cameron Diaz was really good in that, but I can say that about Very Bad Things.
I pretend like you never said that in existence, otherwise I can't be your friend anymore.
I think I said that one other time when I had this dream.
She was really good in Seven when she was played by Gwyneth Paltrow.
In your face, Cameron Diaz.
Now, also another TV show that my family just is obsessed with is, of course, Seinfeld. Some people like it, some people hate it, but we love that. That show we watch all the damn time. And my mom really liked George Costanza's character, Jason Alexander's character, George Costanza. That movie, that entire TV series is so quotable. And my friend Adam, his mom has 80 seen it, Seinfeld seen it, and I've yet to challenge her to it, but Robot's Seinfeld, because I know some people didn't like it, but what about like TV shows like that, like Seinfeld, Friends, which is god-awful, but I'm sure people like that. What about stuff like that?
A TV show that my mom and I bonded over, I think I was in middle school, is the original run of Beavis and Butthead. At first, she didn't like it. She thought it was stupid. But then a couple months go by, and I walk into the room, and she's watching it with me not even there. And I was like, busted.
Again, bringing up my age difference to you guys, the original Battlestar Galactica. My mom and I watched that all the time.
I love that show.
I watched that.
But I watched it first run, man.
I watched the Battlestar Galactica TV movies as they would air. My mom was into those.
Those weren't bad.
But what my mom and I really bonded over was Next Generation.
Yes.
And we would watch that all the time. And then some, like, spring break or stuff, she'd hand me $20 and say, run down to the video store and pick us up some old episodes of Next Generation to watch. Got to a point where she actually replaced this picture of my dad on the wall with just a picture of Jonathan Frakes. And he never noticed.
Pre or post beard?
Post beard.
Because otherwise he looks weird in those early episodes without the beard. Does.
At a certain point, she just threw a 20 at you and said, make it so.
Yeah.
Okay, Jowski, then here's the question. If it wasn't Jonathan Frakes, but Jeffrey Combs had gotten that role, he was the next up if Jonathan Frakes said no, would you think Jeffrey Combs would have been as good of a Riker?
No.
I disagree. I think he would have nailed that.
Because if Jonathan Frakes said no, their next person to go to was Jeffrey Combs.
Now, Jonathan Frakes also did the voice of Xanatos and Gargoyles, right?
And Marina Sirtis was, it's been a long time, the female Gargoyle. And like Avery Brooks and Captain Janeway and Brent Spiner and most of the Next Gen and DS9 casts were on that show too.
Yeah. So the question isn't, would Jeffrey Combs be a better Riker? Would Jeffrey Combs be a better Xanatos? That's what we should ask, because that might have led to that.
Jeffrey Combs, though, it took me a second to recall, he played Herbert West.
Reanimator, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Would have made a terrible Riker.
You think so?
He could have gone in a whole different way with the character, though. I think that would have worked.
It would have been a completely different character.
Yeah.
All right, then how about this for Deep Space Nine? Two of the other people they went to were James Earl Jones and Worf's brother. The name escapes me. Keith David. Both of them were approached for Sisko, and they both said no.
Keith David would have made an awesome Sisko.
He would have been awesome. Keith David could play anything, as far as I care.
How about James Earl Jones?
He has the sci-fi pedigree, and I think that would have been good to a point.
But the character would have been totally different. Instead of the badass, you do not f*** with me, Sisko, we got, I think James Earl Jones could not have pulled that Sisko off.
Like, it would have taken him a lot to get out of the chair. Like, go deal with that.
Because if you think about it, Avery Brooks basically played Hawk from Spencer for Hire in space. He played Hawk's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Or son.
Son, yes.
Unless it was a long, long time ago.
Jousty with the logic.
Yeah, actually, for Next Generation, because I'm starting to watch them all. I'm on Next Generation now. I just got done with the Spock unification episodes, which was really, like, it blindsided me, because I was like, oh my god, Spock's in this.
Oh, so your favorite actress got to come back for that two-parter then, huh, Tom?
Oh god, Tasha Yar is f***ing terrible. I was never more happy when she died. Like, any other sci-fi character that died that I could remember in recent memory. But, like, watching her, I was like, okay, this is what I'll say about her. This is going to be so, like, man-biased. I did not like the face. I thought she had a great body, but she was the most, like, annoying character. And I love it when you're like, oh, don't worry, she dies. I was like, sweet! And then she keeps coming back, and now she's, like, Romulan daughter, blonde Romulan, and it annoys the hell out of me. I do not like her.
The problem I had with those bringing back the old characters was the Scotty episode. It just pissed me off so much because they threw continuity out the window to bring him back.
I kind of like the Scotty episode. Just, you know, like on its own merits, I thought it was a good episode.
I liked it on its own merits as well. But like the fact that he knows Kirk is dead and the Enterprise is destroyed when he goes, oh, the Enterprise, I bet Jim Kirk dusted the old girl off himself. You go, did you guys forget when you blew up the Enterprise and killed Kirk? What the hell's Scotty talking about?
I'm not going to say it doesn't require a certain amount of suspension of disbelief, but if he can do that, if he can get past all that, it's enjoyable.
As a Trek fan, it bothers me. The continuity issue bothers me as a Trek fan.
Which season is Scotty in?
I think six.
Six?
Well, yeah, great. I think... Now that was ruined for me.
Oh, bah. Well, hey, you got to see Dr. McCoy in the pilot. Sorry, Admiral McCoy.
Oh, another spoiler for you.
Because he was talking to Data, and he kept every third word was boy, boy.
Because he's an old man. Because he was an old man at that point, and apparently they call everyone boy.
Boy.
Beat me up, boy.
I'm gonna be 60 saying, "Hey, give me that boy."
But as Dr. McCoy is my favorite character, I loved seeing that uncredited and unannounced cameo like that. It's the only highlight of that crap-ass pilot, too.
Crap-ass.
That pilot was awful. That pilot episode was so badly put together. DS9, Voyager, and Enterprise's pilots were so much better than Next Gen's.
Well, you need something to differentiate good from bad, so they made that.
And still, you don't need to be throwing words around like crap-ass. That's kind of harsh, Josh.
Crap-ass.
What? I'm not allowed to make up words? The Republicans can. Why can't I?
Not all Republicans, just Sarah Palin.
Crap ass is now approved for use on Geek Juice Radio.
Watch what you're saying there, ass butt.
These are FCC allowable words. We can use them.
That's right. Yes, crap ass butt.
I'm playing nice. I'm trying to play nice tonight.
Okay. Well, if you still plan on playing nice, shall we move into the next topic?
I didn't get to talk about what I watched growing up.
I thought Kevin, that was telling you not to speak. I wasn't going to argue with that.
My family loves the Garfield holiday specials. Especially the Halloween one.
Where they go back to
Arbuckle's candy.
Thank you. Somebody else knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. They go back to Arbuckle's family farm and his, like, grandma beats the shit out of him.
That's the Christmas one. My dad loves that. It's just like every Halloween. If I'm home, which is rare on Halloween these days, but it's just like on loop. My dad loves that. He'll do it. He'll walk around the house, candy. No joke.
I am Gar Halloween Field.
Yeah, that was like, we watched a lot of the vacation movies and stuff too. And then my family always loved Married with Children as far as TV went. Family would not let me watch, parents would not let me watch The Simpsons, but Married with Children was okay. Could not explain
and I cannot follow that logic at all.
Nope. It's because they want to show you how good of parents they really are.
Right. Yeah,
it's called parents' logic. It's not supposed to make sense. And as a parent, I can tell you use it.
But also my parents forbid me from watching. They didn't like me watching Martin was a show they didn't like me watching.
Martin.
Oh, they just didn't like Shaniqua.
I barely remember that show, to be honest with you. My favorite shows as a kid growing up were Herman's Head and The Critic. So,
oh, I loved The awesome. Critic. My wife and I watched The Critic all the time. We loved that show.
Herman's Head did not get the chance that it deserved.
I think it was maybe a little too high concept because it was like a Greek chorus thing, which I'm not sure people got.
I got it.
The part I didn't like was the guy whose head they're in was just kind of boring. The in-the-head stuff was good. The out-of-the-head stuff was just normal sitcom crap.
Yeah.
Except
it was crap-ass. It was crap-ass.
Hank Azaria was anything but crap-ass on that show.
I really liked the head stuff, though. I thought it was interesting. So, still one of my favorites. People ask me what one of my favorite shows. That show only lasted, like, what? How many episodes?
Two seasons.
The second season was cut short about halfway in.
They did the same thing to the George Carlin show on Fox.
That was another show I loved.
It was two seasons, but at the same time, each season was only like 9 episodes.
About the same era, right? Because I remember watching both of those shows.
It was. They were both on Sunday night, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Herman's Head was early 90s. Carlin was 96, 95 maybe, somewhere in there.
Maybe. I'm trying to frame it with my high school years.
Because I have all those Carlins on tape.
Really? Man, that would be awesome. That was my introduction to George Carlin, believe it or not.
I've actually transferred them all to DVD, hint, hint. bootleg.
That's right.
Well, I don't think they'll ever release them on DVD for actual purchase, so.
Yeah, they're not going to do that.
No.
So. And I got to say, the episode with Tommy Chong is absolutely hilarious.
That was brilliant.
The episode, and then the one with George Carlin swearing. There's like 90 beeps in a 22-minute episode. So it's all about the use of language and him getting caught swearing.
Do you remember the one where Carlin's apartment was quarantined?
Yeah, that was
episode. I need to see those again.
Drew Carey was a scientist.
Vaguely remember this episode.
I like that one. Like, he pulled some aftershave out of his medicine cabinet. He's like, this wasn't brown when I bought it.
And it mixed with his dandruff to cause a worldwide plague that made everyone's feet grow incredibly hairy.
Yes! Is that the same one where that chick, the blonde chick at the bar, she started growing hair on her chest?
Yes. And then my wife's favorite is the one where they steal the statue of Christ, and then they have to try and get it back to the church on time while George is battling hemorrhoids.
This show was canceled?
It was. Yes. If you can believe that injustice.
It sounds awesome.
Back to shows as a kid, though, growing up, because during the summer, mostly the summer, my sister and I would watch Nick at Night all the time, when Nick at Night used to show actual classic TV, like Leave It to Beaver era.
I remember watching Get Smart on Nick at Night.
Yep, we would get into Get Smart and all those, and it ended, finally, when my sister asks my mom what happened in the final episode of Mr. Ed, because they didn't do series finales back then. My mom just goes, well, Mr. Ed broke his leg and they had to shoot him. For years, my sister believed it. She just stopped watching old TV after that.
An honorable end for a horse, all right?
So, Alex, was she glued to the television?
Oh. Send them all back to the glue factory.
Al po my.
I'm hoping that's not how My Little Pony ends.
Are we going to have to hoof it to the next segment?
Nay.
Hey there. Hey.
Dudes.
Saddle up, boys.
Let's wait a moment for Kevin to get back, I suppose.
Yes, the wind is really doing a number on Kevin's internet tonight.
I'm sure that's it. I'm sure he just didn't turn off his porn.
His Star Wars The Old Republic porn.
Yeah, he might have to delete a terabyte of porn off of his computer.
The wind's too much. It can't take it. All my porn is blowing away.
Right now he's deciding what to delete.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's one of Ron Jeremy's best movies.
It's all wedding video porn.
I'm sorry, honey. I had to make a decision.
Yeah. I have that same problem. Not necessarily with porn, but my computer is getting full with all the movies I keep downloading, and I gotta delete something, but I haven't got around to watching them yet, so it's like, oh, well, maybe if I throw that on a flash drive, I can watch it later, and then you never get around to.
Yeah.
So I'm getting to that same point with mine, where I'm like, I need to buy more DVDs so I could burn these movies and get them off my computer.
Yeah, all and right. Then it never happens.
All right. The
internet sucked it down again. I'm trying something else here. Hopefully it'll stay.
It's funny that you say sucked it down, because we were just debating on what you were doing there.
stupid internet today. I don't know.
Okay, well, I think that we are a country divided going into our next topic of Quentin Tarantino. Some of us really love him, and some of us really hate him.
I would just like to preface this by saying I've only seen 3 Quentin Tarantino movies, and Reservoir Dogs is not one of them. So,
and I'd also I haven't seen is Bastards, so I can't speak to that one, but that's the only one I haven't seen.
Okay, I will come out as part of the love Quentin Tarantino team. I'm a huge fan of the man.
See, if I didn't know his history, I think I would be more of a fan. If I didn't know that he was a thief, and that he was a liar, and that he steals from everybody, yet gets mad when he's stolen from. I can't stand people like that.
Now, I just want a clarification. Is this just about Quentin Tarantino? Are we accepting that some of the movies are good, like the movies we're leaving alone, or are you just including the whole thing?
I like some of his movies. I like Jackie Brown a lot. But
me too.
I don't really call that a Tarantino movie because he adapted the novel relatively faithfully. So that's really not a Tarantino movie in my mind.
And Jackie Brown is actually my least favorite Tarantino movie.
That's actually my favorite Tarantino movie. And
Chowski hates it because there's this one scene where Pam Grier is singing a song she's singing in some other exploitation film. And so Chowski automatically
assumes. You do not get him started on that.
No, Josh, you could check me on this. Wasn't Jackie Brown based off like a short story, or was it a full novel?
It was a full novel called Rum Punch.
Elmore Leonard.
And if I remember, because I think I checked on IMDb, I just want to make sure, because that guy helped Tarantino write the screenplay too, right, for that movie?
Correct. The only thing Tarantino really screwed up in that movie is Jackie's white in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Which kind of changes the dynamic a little bit. Pam Grier was great in the movie.
Yeah, she was.
But the character's not black, and they very much played her as a black character in the movie.
Okay, if Denzel Washington can be in the Pelican Brief, then Pam Grier can be in Jackie Brown.
Or Morgan Freeman in Shawshank.
Shawshank, exactly.
That character's white.
But the other thing is, do you guys know that Jackie Brown is connected to Out of Sight?
By means of Ray Nicolette, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yes. Michael Keaton plays the same character in both. And even though Michael Keaton doesn't play the character, the Ray Nicolette character shows up in the Karen Sisko TV series as well.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Wasn't that Out of Sight with Jennifer Lopez?
Yes, and Clooney.
Yeah,
Jennifer Lopez played Carla, the role later taken on by Carla Gugino, who also played Karen Sisko in the TV series and in the TV series Justified. She's Karen Sisko as well.
Yep, that's right. Now, who was it who played Ray Nicolette in the Carla Gugino series?
Peter Horton from Brimstone.
That's right.
Okay, well, now that we talked about Jackie Brown, we got that away. Josh, continue your explanation towards Tarantino, and let's have it.
All right, so when he made Reservoir Dogs, and keep in mind, I think Reservoir Dogs is a phenomenal film, okay?
Thank you.
If Tarantino had just come out and said, this film is heavily influenced by the movie City on Fire, or even it's an unofficial remake of City on Fire, I would have been okay with it. But it's an almost shot-for-shot remake of the Ringo Lam film City on Fire. And then Tarantino has the balls when he's called on it to say, I've never seen this movie. It sounds really good. Then he's caught with a City on Fire poster in an old photograph behind him. And he says Chow Yun-fat's his favorite Asian actor, but he has the balls to say this movie he copied frame for frame he's never seen before. Then to make it worse, it took a British magazine to break that story originally, because Miramax kept shutting down whenever Entertainment Weekly or Premiere tried to break the story. Miramax said, well, maybe if you keep pursuing this Tarantino Reservoir Dogs thing, maybe you don't get to tickets to our films anymore or exclusive info. And so they all dropped it. So it took an American blogger, well, bloggers didn't exist yet, but an American fanzine writer named Mike White, who's a fellow Jackalope host, he does the projection booth. He's the one that broke it in America.
The British broke the story, first of all, because they have nothing else to do. Second of all, I'm of the mind, I believe that that Tarantino had not seen City on Fire when he, at least when he was writing Reservoir Dogs. Because the fact that you see a picture of Tarantino with a City on Fire poster in the back, I buy that, because back when Tarantino was writing Reservoir Dogs, there wouldn't be a picture of him. So I present that it is possible that at least while he was writing Reservoir Dogs, he had not seen City on Fire. I think that's a distinct possibility, and I believe that.
Maybe it was like something like, this is like some like big joke for him that he knew people would call him out on it. So instead of like being like, oh yeah, Reservoir Dogs, I totally got that from that. He just wants to be like, oh yeah, I've never seen it, I've never done that. And then of course he goes, picture City on Fire, says Chow Yun-Fat's his favorite actor. Like maybe it's just some huge joke for him. He's just like really crazy like that.
It's strange to me because, like I said, I haven't seen Reservoir Dogs and I obviously haven't seen City on Fire, but it's strange because all of his movies are, you know, a harshly worded ripoff, but they're homages to the other genres. The Kill Bill movies are rife with references, musical reference. Jowski's review for Female Convict 701 Scorpion is a song that's Oren Ishii's theme, which was obviously from that movie originally. So the whole, why would Tarantino, who obviously pays reference to all sorts of movies, why would he say this one wasn't a reference? That's what confuses me.
Because which is weird, because film.
He says,
yeah, because it's the film that made him a star. To come out and say, my first film, I basically ripped off another film, that wouldn't have helped his career.
I guess that's true. It just seems like his whole career is based off of, and it's, I watch
so are Setzer and Freeberg, but that doesn't make them creative people.
Okay, no, I will not have those names spoken on this podcast.
They do the same thing. Homages everything. Tarantino's no better than Setzer and Freeberg other than the fact that he's a better director. He does the same thing that they do. He just does it better.
I actually think Tarantino's strength is his dialogue. I find his dialogue entertaining, but
I will agree with that. He's definitely a better writer than he is a director.
Honestly, I think he has the same strength Kevin Smith has, is that he's an excellent dialogue writer.
Have any of you guys seen Death Proof?
That's not one of the ones I've seen.
No, yes. Continue.
Death Proof is 2 hours of him masturbating to how great he is on camera. Am I wrong, those of you that have seen it? Am I wrong?
With Death Proof?
No, I will say that you are wrong. I enjoyed Death Proof.
You're
the first person who said that they actually like Death Proof. Everybody else I've heard said they hate Death Proof.
With Death Proof, I'll get out of the way first. I like Kurt Russell, but everything else bored the out of me. Because honestly, like the first part of that movie is chicks talking. Now, I know it's like dialogue, and I guess it's supposed to be important, but I don't want to listen to chicks talk. I really, really don't, especially not for that long. But I did like Kurt Russell in it, which made the movie okay for me.
You misogynist asshole.
And I'm just saying. I'm just being honest.
In Death Proof that spoiled it for me is that Rodriguez did this in Planet Terror as well. They're grindhouse films where people get text messages.
So?
You don't have to set it in the 70s.
Right.
One of the problems I had, and this is, I have a feeling Jowski is going to agree with me. I don't know where the rest of you guys are going to fall on this, is the missing reel.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet, but I want to see it though.
Tarantino put the missing reel back in his movie because he says, again, showing what an ego he has, the footage was just too good to not be seen. He is so in love with himself and his own work, he can't stand to even delete scenes from his movies that are already boring and drag.
See, I can get with you. I haven't seen it, but I believe you on that. The problem, certain things I like, even if the artist himself is an asshole, I love the Smiths. Morrissey is the biggest ass on the face of the planet, but I love the Smiths. So I kind of, at a certain point, there are degrees where I can't separate the artist from the art. We discussed the Roman Polanski thing before, I think. But with just being a jerk, I'm usually okay with a guy being a jerk if I like his work.
That I'm like those some things, like if anybody remembers the band Days of the New,
sure.
The lead singer Travis Meeks, the reason like the band basically split up is because, and it was really good in my opinion. He thought it was really good, but he thought it was really good because of him. Now, that's a douchey thing to do, which ended up splitting them up, and I believe the other band members formed the band Tantric, but that's like a really douchey thing to do, but the music was good. I don't know who or why it was that way, but I see what you're getting at, Kevin, though. Yeah,
okay.
I'm assholes, but I mean, I still like Days of the New is like my favorite band ever.
Tantric was a Sting tribute band.
But what it comes down to with Tarantino is he took a movie that people were already complaining was boring and overlong and said, you know what? I'm putting 25 minutes back in because it's just that motherfucking good.
That is the mark of a douchey auteur. You're right. I'm with you on that.
Because that movie needed trimming to begin with. It is boring as hell.
Yeah,
25 minutes of stuff happens in a 2-hour movie.
I can't say why, but I was not bored when watching Death Proof.
I remember the first time I watched it, It wasn't in theaters. Somebody had it on DVD, and we were watching it. And, like, it was me and, like, two other friends, and I almost fell asleep at the beginning of that movie. Like, literally, that first 3 minutes, it is boring as hell. Of course, like, my eyes popped in, like, okay, Kurt Russell's on the screen. But then you go away and be like, all right, the rest of this sucks.
I was going to say, another thing is, like, Pulp Fiction. Well, yes, there, I will call them homages in that. There's so many of them, you get the idea. Tarantino didn't have one original idea in this movie. For instance, the whole scene with I'm gonna go to work on the homes with a pair of pliers and a blowtorch and a couple of pipe hitting niggers. That exact line is from another film. The entire thing with the drawing the adrenaline needle shot onto her chest with a magic marker. An exact scene out of American Boy. It's everything in that movie is copied from something else.
See, that doesn't bother me though. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person who knows that Kevin Smith did not write the line, adventure, it's excitement, a Jedi craves not these things. Yet Silent Bob says it. It's just paying tribute to things that you like, and I've got nothing against that.
Here's the thing I do want to talk, because I was doing research about this, and everybody's talking about homages. There's actually something, I don't have the direct quote that Tarantino said, but he basically said, yeah, I steal from a lot of different things. A lot of people do. And he says, you know, he did the whole great artist steal line, but he did say, nobody makes homages. So he's basically admitting that he takes stuff from movies, but he's not doing it for homage. He was just saying that everybody steals it. So yeah, it seems like homage, but I think in Tarantino's mind, he's just outright saying, yeah, I stole it.
Well,
it
was now.
Now, he also has this thing where he tries to steal from such obscure sources that he thinks only real film fans like us are going to, oh, I get that. I mean, how many people got Jowski's reference to Pam Grier until Jowski put it out there? How many people really caught that, you know?
Probably very small percentage of people.
That's because you've seen Big Dollhouse, Charlie. That's why.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'm
you're a Jack Hill fan as well.
Of course, there's a reason why I caught that. I'm just saying.
But I'm saying, like, outside of us, think about all the people that went and saw Jackie Brown. Maybe a percentage, 1%, got that reference, and the rest thought it was Tarantino really being artistic.
I mean, they're movies made for people who quote movies in real life. I mean, all you got to do is look at the script for True Romance. The Clarence character in True Romance is the person that the movie is being marketed to. And again, I don't find anything wrong with that.
Well, okay,
which is basically all of us.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't like the stealing stuff. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I think we'd all be on the same side of saying the hell of Tarantino if he did all this stuff and the movies were god awful. If he made horrible, if all those movies were. I think we'd be like Tarantino, but the fact that like I like some of the movies and I think they're good, it doesn't taint the movie for me. It just somewhat taints how it was made. That's what taints it for me.
Because he directed the last quarter of Four Rooms,
the Man from Hollywood segment,
which was another ego trip for him.
It basically that whole segment is, hey, remember that episode of
Alfred Hitchcock
Presents? Let's just do this episode. And they,
which had already been remade once, Alex. I want to point out that it had already been remade in 1984 for the pilot episode of the reboot. He needed to do it again?
Well, that was not a remake of The Man from Rio, though. That was a tribute to The Man from Rio.
But it's like Superman's origin. How many times does this need to be shown on film? You know, there were basically...
For as long as the cutting off of fingers remains entertaining, which is forever.
You're never going to get better than John Huston doing it in 1984.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And I don't think the segment in Four Rooms was trying to be better than that, though.
It was trying to just be a flat-out remake, though, more than an homage.
Wait, which Superman?
We're still talking about The Man from Rio.
Four Rooms.
I'm stuck on Superman, sorry.
Yeah,
pay attention, keep up.
You said Superman, and then Tom's ADD kicked in. He's like, oh, yeah. Superman.
Well, I was about to go on a Superman rant, but I'll just save it for another day.
I think, for me, it comes into what are you looking for out of a movie? Some people want, you know, a unique, original, artistic. Some people want just to be entertained. I kind of like the little wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, look at this thing I'm referencing. It kind of makes you feel like you're in on the joke. I don't know. Like, it makes me feel like
but it's the same thing as the epic movies.
My favorite example of a wink to fans is any trauma movie. If you see a mint green sedan, it is going to fly up in the air, flip, and explode.
But see, like, one of those that's done right, and even though I hated the movie, there was this one funny part in Cop Out when Tracy Morgan's all overacting, trying to interrogate a suspect, and he's doing all these movie characters, and Bruce Willis is like, Dirty Harry, got it. And then he does John McClane, and he goes, don't know that one. Yeah, that is that a one. Funny... That's a funny reference.
These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, that stuff's,
you know. I kind of liked Cop Out. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought Cop Out was aptly named because it was a cop out. But then,
actually,
but
the origin of that title is because it was going to be called A Couple of Dicks, and the studio refused that.
But I also want to bring up, like, James Cameron. When he stole the Terminator, it was the same thing as when Tarantino stole Reservoir Dogs. The cover up of it only brought more attention to it than if they had just paid the guy he stole from a dump truck full of money to make him go away.
And so you've enlightened me. I was not aware Terminator was stolen. I'd like to hear this story, please.
All right. Go watch a couple. There's two specific Outer Limits episodes you need to watch from the original 60s show called The Soldier and The Demon and Demon with a Glass Hand. And then read the Harlan Ellison story, I Have No Mouth, But I Must Scream.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Harlan Ellison story. I didn't know there was a tie directly to the Terminator with that, though.
Yes.
Well, I mean, James Cameron directed the sequel to the Terminator. He didn't. Ridley Scott directed the first one.
No, it was.
No, you're thinking of
Are
Alien.
Are you in an alternate world?
Alien versus Alien.
Oh, you're right. My bad.
But no. Okay. So what happened was, like, the opening scene of the Soldier episode of the Outer Limits is a barren, war-torn, futuristic landscape with laser beams randomly being shot. while a tank basically rolls into frame. Does that sound familiar at all?
It sounds very familiar, yes.
And it's about a guy that gets that is emotionless and gets thrown back in time. And then when you throw in Demon with a Glass Hand, which is about a time-traveling robot, and then there's another Outer Limits episode called The Man Who Was Never Born, which is about a guy that has to go back in time and protect his own mother from being assassinated so the future can exist. Does all this sound a little bit familiar?
Yeah.
Well, at least it's not like one whole thing. At least
yes. No. See, here's the thing. Here's the thing that got him totally caught in court, because Ellison won in court. Two of those three Outer Limits episodes and that story were all written by a single author. They were all written by Harlan Ellison. So they were able to prove that Cameron stole from one specific author and refused to give credit. That's why, watch The Terminator again. Right as she's driving off into the Mexican sunset at the end of the movie, you'll see a huge credit that comes up. The filmmakers wish to acknowledge the works of Harlan Ellison. They were legally bound to put that in there after paying Ellison millions of dollars, because they kept screwing up. They settled out of court, and he said, okay, you got to put my credit in there. First home video release, oh, they forgot the credit. You owe Ellison more money. Oh, the HBO release, we put the credit in the wrong spot. It's like between the caterer and the best boy and things like that. So they had to keep paying that. And the word on the street is Cameron kept going in and telling them, I will not let that guy take credit for my movie.
Damn.
In his defense, though, that was a top-notch best boy.
It was a top-notch best boy. I still, you know, I've worked on movies. I don't even know what a best boy does.
And you don't want to know, sir.
They are the electrician's apprentice.
You say that, I say fluffer.
I worked in the sound department. I don't know. I didn't deal with the electricians. I worked in sound. But what it comes down to is, like, when Hemdale O'Ryan was trying to cover up Cameron's theft of the Terminator, all that did is bring it forward, because they didn't realize, first of all, with Ellison, that he was not going to go away. And second, Cameron had given an interview to Starlog shortly before the movie came out. And when they asked him his influence, he said, oh, I really loved The Outer Limits. Again, pointing to the old Outer Limits show. Well, Hemdale went to Starlog and said, we want that sentence deleted out of the interview. Fine, no problem. What they forgot was Ellison also worked for Starlog and was able to get a copy of the original interview to present in court.
So basically,
they didn't know who they were messing with, basically.
Why would you? Cameron, obviously not too bright, ripping off one of the greatest science fiction authors of all time.
Right. Well, I mean, hell, he's getting sued three times now over Avatar.
Somebody a little bit more obscure.
And just for the audience, there are many, many other examples of James Cameron not being too bright.
Wait. True. He's getting sued over Avatar? Who wants to be the guy who has to say, I'm getting sued because of Avatar?
Two of the people that are suing him probably are full of that. They don't seem to have a great case. Another one, you got to remember, Cameron owns Lightstorm Entertainment, the company that made, like, Strange Days and that. This guy worked for Lightstorm in the late 90s, and he has old, dated drafts of ideas he pitched to Cameron about a blue planet of or a planet with blue aliens, and it was environmentally conscious, and they would actually plug into the trees and things like that. And Cameron's saying, I have no clue what this guy's talking about.
Well, you came close to describing the Smurfs just then.
Okay, but it also involves alien on human kind of sex and things that don't make any sense. How's that?
I'm gonna have to check the Smurf DVDs.
You had me at the environment. That's what.
You forest fondler.
But yeah, with Cameron, what it comes out as every time he makes a new movie, I just start going, I wonder where he stole this from. Well, and also he ripped off the. Have you guys read the classic science fiction story? They Call Me Joe.
No, I haven't read that one.
No, I haven't.
It's about a soldier in the future who loses use of his legs.
Gets
offered new use of legs if he goes into an avatar style program to help them get info on an alien race. Sounds vaguely familiar to Avatar, doesn't it?
It sounds vaguely familiar to Tron too, though. I mean, it's a digital self in a different world.
Right, but it's just Cameron is not an original filmmaker. I loved Aliens. It's one of my all-time favorite films. Doesn't mean it's an original film.
That's at least true. It's a sequel to an established property, so you're like, well, at least we know where he stole this one from.
Supposedly, the rumor is parts of Aliens are from his rejected Rambo 2 script. I swear.
I want to see that movie.
I swear, some of the scenes, because you remember, he wrote Rambo 2 as well, and Stallone changed the script quite a bit. So the rumor by some people that are close to him say he took a lot of the stuff Stallone took out and just reworked it into Aliens.
Okay, so when Sylvester Stallone says, this does not stimulate me intellectually, what do you do?
You say, game over, man, game over.
I think we're all underestimating Cameron's contribution to cinema with Piranha 2, though. I think that's where we really need to go with this.
I love Piranha 2. I really love that movie.
It was the first horror film I ever saw, so I'm a little biased.
Lance Henriksen's awesome in that.
As a mammal, I wasn't terribly scared of Piranha 2.
I got to go with Cameron's quote on this. It's probably the best flying piranha movie ever made.
It's definitely top five.
But then, you know, Cameron even steals from himself. Look at the sets of Galaxy of Terror, and then look at the sets on Aliens. They're the exact same thing with more money. And Cameron did the sets and set design on Galaxy of Terror. So he even steals from himself.
Well, that's just a visual trademark. I don't know if I'd call that stealing from him. So, I mean, that's like John Fogerty having to play guitar in court. You remember that?
Yeah, John Fogerty sounded too much like John Fogerty.
Exactly.
So he was sued for that. I remember that. Even the judge laughed that one out of court.
So basically, if you're going to take something, make sure you cite where you take it from. Otherwise, we will all think you're an asshole.
Yeah, Tarantino and Cameron, they're all right plagiarists in my mind.
Yeah, one thing with Tarantino, though, with his homages, very hipster-like, because he pays homage to a lot of obscure things the way a hipster would. And then Tarantino has said in interviews that his favorite movies are Star Trek II and Manos, the Hands of Fate.
Star Trek II, huh?
Yeah, but Manos. But he's a hipster that's like, oh, I like it ironically.
just like I hate After Last Season ironically.
Jowski, I get all the references in Tarantino movies, but it's probably from a movie you've never heard of.
Yeah, precisely.
All right, everybody, we're gonna crack some PBR. I actually like PBR, so there's that.
It's good. You know, I drink PBR a lot, and then I stopped drinking it for a while because it literally tasted like the metal can in which it was made in. But then, like, I drank it from the bottle the other day, like an actual bottle, and it tastes way better than from the can. Not as much steel and rust.
I tried PBR, and I didn't like it. What I'm going to do is grow some mutton chops and try it again.
I suggest
you. You need some tight pants.
I've got Dr. Pepper. Does that count? I got Dr. Pepper. Does that count?
I love Dr.
Mountain Dew.
I haven't drank a pop in a month, so no, it doesn't count.
By the way, Jowski, my stomach hurts. Still hurts from that energy drink thing you had me try earlier today.
Oh yeah, it was killing me too, and I had three of those things.
I had a sip, and my stomach hurt.
What have you guys ever had Bomba?
In case we want to get sued.
No, I've not had Bomba.
I have no idea where this is from. I found it. Do you guys have Big Lot stores by you at all?
Yeah.
In California, do we have them out here, guys? I don't know.
Yeah, it's way up on the north end of town.
I've lived out here almost 3 years, and I don't know if we have Big Lots.
It used to be Fashion Bug or something like that.
It used to be a save.
Big Lots, you know how they get all those weird foods from foreign countries that even the foreign countries don't want?
Right.
Back when I worked at Channel 26, we found one. It was shaped like a clear grenade, and it was called Bomba. The only words in English on the side were from Guatemala. I bought one of these and made Brandon from It Came From Beyond Midnight drink it. Oh, man. He wanted to murder me so bad. He said it tasted like gasoline that's already been burnt. Actually, and I can't find it anymore. I can't even find references to it on eBay or online. I swear I have this, but nobody believes me because I can't prove it.
It's not the peanut butter snack food made in Israel. That's the one that comes up in Wikipedia.
Well, I can't speak for everyone, but I am going to Big Lots first thing tomorrow morning.
was about a year ago. I don't know if they'll have Bomba there now.
How does it spell? Man, I'm spelling it wrong.
B-O-M-B-A.
Well,
Bomba.
Big Lots doesn't really rotate their stock a whole lot. If it came out a year ago, there's probably still some there.
The energy drink that made me sick, and Kevin as well, was in the discontinued bin at the corner store. And it was
that was a red flag.
Alex, really?
And it was Monster, but it was Irish coffee flavored Monster.
Oh god, that sounds.
It was pretty gross. I got to be honest. It was like extra sweet too. Ugh.
When they were out, I had the Irish coffee one, the Russian coffee one. What else was there? There was like three or four of them.
So you've tasted the.
I have, and it gave me horrible nightmarish diarrhea.
Does the Bomba look like a grenade?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, bomba.at. That's their website.
I don't even heard of anything that ends in AT before for a web address.
Yeah, that sounds shady just from the get-go.
It's a boat out in the middle of the Indian
Ocean. It's an energy drink. Let's see. They sell it in Sweden, Norway, Uganda, South Africa, Honduras, Singapore.
So if death no longer frightens you, try some Bomba.
Can Bomba energy explode? Yes, but only inside the body and with a positive effect under any energy levels. The bottle itself cannot explode. And it can be safely kept for 24 months.
I tasted some of those Jones Halloween sodas.
Oh, God.
From a few years ago. One of them, literally, the only way I can describe it is, it tastes like an old cup of coffee with a cigarette put out in it.
That's what it tasted like.
What you're hearing now is the music from the Bomba website. There's a picture of a naked lady and a naked gentleman. Her boobs are on his shoulder.
Oh, wow. Those people are naked.
That's like the Yoko and John drawing.
Caffeine, taurine, sugar, and guarana extract. Delicious.
You guys should try like a Brad Tries parody and get one of those imported.
Oh, God. Has anybody tried Four Loko?
Like a challenge to me. I cannot wait to try Bomba now.
Has anybody tried Four Loko yet?
Oh, I hated Four Loko. I tried that once. That was the
DeSantos loves that.
I tried Four Loko, and I saw the apocalypse.
If you haven't tried it, you got to. Because basically, you go through the motions. You take a sip. First of all, your eyes widen, and you're like, what the f*** did I just put in my mouth? And it's the worst tasting thing. But when it goes down, it may have the best aftertaste in the entire world. And it will get you drunk.
All I wanted to do was shoot a parked car with a handgun until it exploded.
That lets you know it's working.
It is watermelon-flavored beer as an energy drink. It is awful.
All right, Josh, which color great. Of Bomba did you guys have?
It kind of looked like pee. The bottle was clear. Yeah, the bottle was clear. It kind of looked like pee or maybe like a light apple juice.
They call it the yellow energy. That's a of bubblegum taste, stimulates the spirit and circulatory system.
Like I said, Brandon described it as gasoline after it had been burnt.
Thank you very much for listening to Geek Juice Radio. It has been educational, emotional, and horrifying at times. Please visit our website, www.geekjuicemedia.com. Look for some brand new Men from Cyclopolis comics. I forgot those in the car. I will give those to you tonight. Does anyone else have any plugs? Josh, let's begin with you.
Well, I have my column Sanity is Razor Thin on your website, geekjuicemedia.com. And when this airs, the following week, I'm on the projection booth where we tackle the 1979 batshit insane movie The Visitor.
Which is on next, by the way.
For?
The projection booth follows Geek Juice in the lineup.
Oh, okay. Alex sends me these early. I never listen to them when they air. Alex always sends me them when after he's done editing.
Yes.
Incidentally, he lets me download them from the website, so get on the show.
Okay, sorry. Well, the link ain't blue, so you can't click it, all right?
Exactly.
And Tom Bad Guy has a video floating around Twitter currently. Do you?
It's also on Geek Juice Media.
Also on the website, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I called Tom out. I wanted to call Tom out. Spike, really? Spike as the Simpsons dog? I know we discussed this in email, but really?
What? Wait a minute.
I added the edit, and then I also told you I remember that the cat's name was Snowball, which is also Snowball the Second.
Yes. He was run over by the mayor's beer-swilling brother, Clovis.
So thank you, Josh, for calling me out.
I just wanted it. It's all in fun.
No, it's good. I like it because, like, that's what... If anybody watches my videos and wants to call me on something or there's something wrong, please tell me, because I will never learn unless you call me out on it. And but yeah, I'm working on a video right now. I'm not going to say any spoilers, but I am working on one right now. And also, if anybody wants to play if anybody wants to play any Xbox Live games like Street Fighter or the Simpsons arcade game, my gamer tag is Tom Bad Guy. And I also have a new Twitter, like I said last week. Yes, I'm cracking the hipster shell, getting the Twitter. It's @Tom_BadGuy.
And God bless you for it. Kevin, anything new coming up on the website?
I'll have something up this weekend. I have not decided what I'm going to write about. I may review Heroes of Elemental Chaos if I decide to buy it. My wife, the Tanina, wishes to let everyone know she'll have a new Facebook Me video up on Monday. And I decided I liked Phantom Menace.
That's a to-be continued.
I was supposed to let you guys make fun of me for liking the Phantom Menace. But
that's a to-be continued.
Yes, that's another rant for another time.
I've got, I'm almost done with Women in Prison Month.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. Because
I've watched you age 10 years this month.
Jowski is the most bitter shell of a human being at work every day.
I mean, he was complaining to me the other night, how many movies of Jess Franco's has to have analingus in it?
All the movies. That's the answer.
Not enough. That's the answer. Not enough.
But I've got two more videos for... The creation videos, I'm doing female market imprisonment, and the last antisocial is going to be, I changed it to Freeway 2.
Ah, yes.
Since Werewolf in a Woman Prison was the worst copy of any DVD I'd ever had. It was, director's commentary is the only audio track by default, and you can never change it.
And that does not sound like an accident. So, stay tuned for the projection booth, and we will see you next time.